you please sit down and turn back, if you would, to that passage which Jeff read to us. 1 John chapter 3 on page 1227. 1 John 3 verses 11 to 24. It's one of the striking characteristics of this first letter of John that it keeps taking us back to the basic fundamental truths of the Christian faith. And then, with simple but remorseless logic, showing us where those truths lead, what their consequences and implications are. And in doing so, John tends to write in very black and white terms. Other New Testament writers, Paul for example, deal with the messy reality that our lives are a strange mixture of light and dark, that Christian experience is a continual battle between the desire to live God's way and the desire to please ourselves. And John is not unaware of that reality. He knows that Christians aren't perfect. But his concern is more to set out the principles clearly, to help us see what is and what is not truly Christian. And so it is with the first half, at least, of this passage. It sets up a very clear contrast between two different groups of people. The two groups have been introduced in the previous passage. They're described in verse 10 as the children of God and the children of the devil. And it's important to realise two things right at the start about these two groups. The first is that they are the only groups. There is no third category of in-betweeners, as it were. Everyone, absolutely everyone, is either a child of God or a child of the devil. The second thing is that, as the description children of implies, the distinction is not primarily one of behaviour. Rather, it is a distinction of nature. It's something much more fundamental than simply how we behave. Now, that doesn't mean that there's no difference in the behaviour of the two groups. John shows that there is. But it does mean that you can't change your nature simply by behaving differently. The behaviour is the result, not the cause, of being either a child of God or a child of the devil. And those who are children of the devil cannot become children of God simply by trying to behave like the children of God. That doesn't mean that their nature can't be changed. Indeed, that is what has happened to all those who are children of God. It may not be a very comfortable thought, but all human beings naturally start out as children of the devil. But as John says in the prologue to his gospel, familiar to us from our Christmas readings, to all who receive Jesus, who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. That's what becoming a Christian is fundamentally about. Receiving a new nature. It's symbolized by baptism, but baptism doesn't automatically bring it about. There are, sadly, plenty of people who've been baptized as children, but whose behavior shows that they are, in John's terms, still children of the devil. A change in nature from a child of the devil to a child of God is something that only God can bring about. But he does so for all who ask him. And once that change is made, then it will show itself in behaviour. That's what John says in verse 10. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. And he goes on in verses 11 to 18 to expand on the significance and the importance of love. It is, he writes in verse 11, one of the fundamentals. This is the message you heard from the beginning. It's part of the ABC of following Jesus, that we should love one another. And he goes on to explore that, first, by way of contrast, presenting us with an attitude and an example to avoid. Verse 12, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. To be sure, it is an extreme example. But John, remember, is explaining principles. And extreme examples are what make principles clear. Cain, he says, belonged to the evil one. That is, he was a child of the devil, to use the terms of verse 10. And he murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Verse 12 again. Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Murder, or its less extreme form of hatred, is the characteristic reaction of those whose actions are evil to those whose actions are righteous. And the reason isn't hard to find. A patch of fading and slightly dirty paintwork can still appear quite smart until you put it alongside a new and pristine coat of paint. And the same is true of those whose deeds are evil. They don't appear so bad until the contrast with the righteous is seen. Righteousness, in other words, shows up evil for what it is. And those who are evil therefore want to do away with the righteous. That's how the world, which is John's way of referring to mankind in rebellion against God, the collective name, if you like, for the children of the devil, that's how the world treated Jesus. It tried to get rid of him. And that's how we can expect it to treat us if we're Christians. As John says in verse 13, do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. It's what you should expect. Hatred, then, and its extreme form, murder, is what characterizes the world, the children of the devil. But by contrast, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life
because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Life and death are the ultimate destinies of the children of God and the children of the devil, respectively. And John sees that that life and that death are already at work in those two categories of people, helping to mould their characteristic attitudes and behaviour. Anyone who hates his brother, he says, is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. And notice again how John describes the change involved in becoming a Christian. It is, verse 14, to pass from death to life. To pass from death to life. It's a definite change. And the implication is that all started out in death as children of the devil. So change is possible, and it's open to all, but not all accept God's offer to change them. And the fact that we love our brothers is not what brings about the change. Behaviour cannot change nature. Only God can do that. Rather, the fact that we love our brothers is the evidence that the change has taken place. That's what verse 14 says. We know that we have passed from death to life. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. John began his exploration of what it means to love one another with an example not to follow, that of Cain. And he brings it to a climax with the example of Jesus. And the contrast could not be greater between those two examples. Cain belonged to the evil one, and he murdered his brother. But verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Just as hatred, the opposite of love, issues in murder, so love itself issues in the opposite of murder, self-sacrifice. And you can see that those two are opposites if you consider what they involve. Self-sacrifice means giving up your own life. Murder means taking someone else's. And just as Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, so, still in verse 16, we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Love is the willingness to surrender what has value for our own life in order to enrich the life of another. And John makes sure that we understand what that means in practice. Verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. The essence of love is costly self-giving. at the very least, of our possessions, if not of physical life itself.
John's contrast is complete. He has described for us two contrasting groups of people, their nature, their attitudes, their characteristic actions, their classic example, and their destiny. The children of the devil, on the one hand, are characterized by an attitude of hatred, especially to the children of God. Their model is Cain, who murdered his brother, and their destiny is death. On the other hand, the children of God are characterized by an attitude of love, especially, once again, for their fellow children of God. Christians are under an obligation to love all people, but John's specific concern here is the love for our brothers, our fellow Christians. Children of God are characterized by an attitude of love, especially for their fellow children of God. Their model is Jesus, who laid down his life for us. And they have passed from death to life because they have trusted in Jesus and God has given them a new nature. And that leaves us with two questions. The first and most fundamental is, which category are we in? Have we trusted in Jesus and so been made children of God? Or are we still children of the devil? Have we passed from death to life? Or are we still in death? And secondly, assuming that we have passed from death to life, how much do our actions show it? How much love, real, practical love, do we have for our fellow Christians? Let's pray.